bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good evening and welcome back to the Gamer Show.
Said the priest to the choir boy. It works every time. It's great.
We've been away for a few weeks.
3-4 weeks, is it?
Yeah. I think we just missed one episode or one show. Because Sam went to Spain.
Yeah. We kind of half hour said in the last point we'd try and do it before he buggers off, but it never happened.
Yeah, it never happened.
I never sent the text to arrange it. You never sent the text to arrange it. It didn't happen.
And Rome came out, so it was never going to come anyway.
Yeah, I know. And my daughter was imminent, so we were just kind of paying attention to that. So here we are. We've missed an episode. Sorry about that. And we have no reviews, so nobody missed us. That's reassuring.
That's just a standard week.
So anyway, skipping over that section and straight into the news. So we will start off with some Xbox news. I'm assuming Chiz, you did, but Sam, did you watch the video about the Xbox One UI leak, the dashboard leak?
I don't watch the videos, I just read the articles.
Is that like with the Playboy website subscription as well?
I don't think my mic's working.
Your mic is working.
Is it?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Your lips
sounds
are
very
moving.
Quiet.
Hang on. Well, hang on. Do it again. That was me.
Sounds very quiet.
No, I can't hear you.
Getting slightly better.
Right. I think you're fine. This is great podcasting value. This really.
Yeah, we should have.
This
done
is worth every penny that everybody paid for this.
We can edit this.
Who
out.
Pays anything for this?
That's my point.
All right.
Anyway, okay, so the Microsoft Xbox One dashboard was leaked. It seems to be an amateur video, sort of a teenage kid videoing with a video in his house. So I can only assume that he either was an intern who managed to get his hands on an Xbox One, or perhaps his dad works for a company that got an Xbox One or something like that. Seemed a young guy. Released a video on the internet. It was quickly removed, but then re-uploaded to other sources online. And basically what it is it shows the main screen, which looks very like a Windows Windows 8 interface.
Mm-hmm. Sort of the Metro.
Tiled thing.
Which is kind of like what the 360 is like now. It's kind of itself anyway.
There's
no real great surprise. Because I thought it'd look like that.
And it shows Rise, Son of Rome, which looked very nice, actually.
I liked how it kind of snapped back and forward to what, like, what they call
the multitasking
thing. I'm using their terminology there, which we didn't mean to do there. But they shrunk it down, the game's still playing while they were doing other things on the dashboard, and you have something else playing and vice versa.
But what was really nice is when it snapped back, it continued. Like, it didn't even like to have a hold state or anything like that. I really liked that. So like on cutscenes, you could kind of snap back to that and have that there and then maybe go away and do stuff. I don't know.
Maybe if,
really beautifully put, Paul.
Like, although I think it's loading times in future games shouldn't be as long as they used to be, but even, say, if you're in a lobby waiting to play a game online, you can just shrink that down and do other things until it's ready, then just bring it back up again, which will be quite cool.
Yeah, I can see the benefit, like, in games where you've maybe got a cutscene of, like, a level that you previously have played, or you've maybe failed and you've had to restart the level, so you've had to go through the cutscene again, and you can just kind of, maybe you can't skip it or something like that. But so that looked interesting. Not really much more to say about that, really, is there?
There's a lot of folk giving it a lot of grief because it looks like it's Windows 8, and Windows 8 gets a lot of hate. But I think it's Windows 8, it's basically Windows 7 to a point, except it's got a tablet sort of interface, which you don't have to use and shrink away anyway. Mm-hmm. But obviously in a normal desktop without a touchscreen, it's useless. Just go back to the desktop. But if you've got touchscreen stuff for Windows 8, it probably works perfectly fine, so I don't have an issue with it. So
depends on the device. Some of them are rubbish still.
Yeah, all right.
So that was that. So that's basically all the Microsoft announcements we've got. Sony, nothing really about the PS4, but in an interesting move, they announced two new things, which nobody was really expecting. I don't think this had been leaked or anything like that. So there's the PS Vita TV micro console. I hadn't heard about this.
No,
this is completely blindsided.
It's only in Japan so far. There's no details of it coming out in Europe or America.
Well, they've said that they will release it, but they've not specified a date yet. So it's like a global release. It's going to be approximately £96 bundled with a DualShock 3 controller, or £61 without the controller. It will launch in Japan on November the 14th, and it's basically going to allow you to play PlayStation Vita, PSP older, and classic PlayStation games on a television screen. It didn't specify PlayStation 2 or PlayStation 3, so it just said classic PlayStation games. So
it'll be the same way that we play PlayStation games on the PS3, where you download them, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Like a new, or it would be an HD version, or you just...
Yeah.
In that sort of fashion.
Yeah. So it's basically the guts of the PlayStation Vita, but without the controller and the screen, essentially. It's just a little thing. It's a similar sort of idea to the Apple TV, but it's a games console.
And use the, basically...
DualShock 3.
A DualShock 3 to play it, yeah. And it can stream, for example, say if you've got a PlayStation 4 downstairs, it can stream, and if you've got the PS Vita in a different room, somebody's using the living room with the PS4, so you can stream the game using the PS Vita TV from the PS4 to that.
Oh, that's
so you
quite
a different
cool.
game where your PS4 downstairs, but you're putting your PS4 upstairs on a different TV.
That's the first thing that you've said that makes it sound useful.
Yeah.
Well, I can see the use if you had a PlayStation Vita game, because there's a lot of titles that come out in the PlayStation Vita that don't come out on PlayStation.
But the also mean you can actually do that with a Vita itself as well.
All right, okay.
So, although I think at the end of the day, it depends how strong and good your Wi-Fi is as well.
So, as well as all that, it does all the things that you would expect such an Apple TV or a Roku box or something like that to do. So you can do movies, ebooks, PlayStation Plus, and PS4 games also be playable via the remote play, as Chels said. The only thing is some PlayStation Vita games will not work because obviously the DualShock 3 doesn't have a touchscreen or the pad thing on the back and all that kind of stuff. Electronic compass, microphone, so on. That sounds quite interesting. I can definitely see a use case, as Sam says, for the being able to stream it to a different telly if you've got a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Because I'm planning to put my PlayStation 4 in the living room, but that's like where folk watch telly. It'd be quite nice to have one of them, you know, in my office or something like that to be able to play my PlayStation. So that was cool. The other thing they announced, in true PlayStation or rather Sony style, is they've announced a thinner version of the PlayStation Vita. So they're just basically taking absolutely every console they've ever made and slowly making them thinner till they disappear, literally. And then they stop selling it. There's no change to this, really, is there? It's coming out in different colours. That's about the only change, isn't it?
It looks much the same. Same sort of length and width. Well, same sort of length and height, but it's just a bit thinner.
Yep.
15% thinner, I've heard.
That's a very Apple-y thing to boast about.
Yeah.
So it's going to be first launched in Japan on October the 10th, priced at 18,980 yen, which is approximately £122.
It'll be more than that here, though.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
I'd be quite when I eventually get a PlayStation 4. I'd probably be quite tempted by Vita if it is like £150. Then I'd be quite tempted by one.
Apparently, it's going to come out in black, white, lime green, and white, like blue and white, pink and black, or khaki and black. And apparently, there's been a redesigned start and select button to allow users to push more easily. That was an exact quote. Allows users to push more easily.
Yeah,
nice.
It's always annoying when you get those buttons where just basically rusty nails sticking out. And they're so hard to push.
And shock horror, we have some Nintendo news. We're feeling a bit flat tonight. What's Quad? I think Sam's too relaxed. He's on a.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good. to be honest, so far the news has been about as inspiring as the rogering that Chris gave me earlier. So.
Well, you'll be really excited about this Nintendo news.
Good.
A couple of weeks ago,
I can feel myself getting up to quartermast.
A couple of weeks ago, they announced the 2DS, which is essentially the 3DS, but without 3D.
It has to be something else. Cause it can't be the old head of Nintendo dying the way you start. It says exciting news.
Oh,
the old head of Nintendo horribly died.
All of them. Yeah. He just died. The company.
I don't remember his name. It was Yoshida
Tamagotchi. Oh, yeah. He did die, didn't he? Tamagotchi died. Whoa. Their great step forward is to make something slightly crapper than it used to be.
To be fair, I don't think anybody's saying it's a great step forward. I think it's possibly... They've realised that very few people actually play the 3DS with 3D switched on. That's maybe a broad generalization, but I think
it's a fair, battery or something.
It's just a bit annoying. I find it really, really annoying. I don't play any games with the 3DS switched on, even the games that probably would work, like the Mario games and things like that, that are actually designed to have like kind of the 3D world thing going on. I have 3D switched off because I just find it a little bit, it kind of gets in the way of the immersion of the game.
Okay.
So I don't like it. So the other thing is they've removed the clamshell element of it. So you know how like the clamshell.
It's just a slab.
It's just a slab now with two screens in it, which again seems a step back to me. But I'm assuming Nintendo know what they're doing, and they will probably sell billions of them.
No, yeah, well, they've sold crap loads already, so...
It's £109, currently sitting on Amazon, and it will release in the UK on October the 12th. So, moving on to Steam...
One further thing I found out recently...
About Nintendo? Or are you spoiling my flow?
I'm spoiling your flow.
Good man.
It's Microsoft said that you can basically plug any HDMI device into the Xbox in port.
Oh, I remember you saying that now, yeah.
And so in essence, say, which, depending on what you're using for, it could be quite handy. Say, I'm struggling for HDMI ports on my TV, which you are. Mm. So you could plug, say, if you've got Xbox One and the PS4, you could plug the PS4 into your Xbox, then that plugs into your TV.
Basically, daisy chains them up. Yeah.
It does mean having, if you want to play your PS4, having your Xbox One on as well.
I have all mine on all the time, which is a constant pain for Chiz.
It's when you leave them on days and end, and you're still signed on to Xbox Live, Paul.
But I don't understand what difference it makes to your life.
It's just annoying to see you there.
Anyway.
To free up HDMI, whether or not they'll actually come up any sort of proper functions for it or not, but it frees up HDMI.
I guess...
And you can plug other things into it as well. You can snap back and forth, say, watching Sky TV and whatnot.
Well, yeah, I can see the benefit there. If a provider wasn't like Sky, who maybe allowed them to do some kind of DVR functionality with a box. Yeah. So if you imagine a company similar to Sky, but not Sky, because Sky wouldn't allow them to do this, but basically made a dumb box that just gave access to a whole bunch of channels, and you actually used your Xbox to control that, and it was essentially just sending the signal through the Xbox. Yeah. Through the HDMI port or something like that might work.
Well, I think it might be quite handy as well. Say if you've got, for a reason why you'd have, but the same game for both consoles, you can both on your screen at the same time and see which one's got the better graphics.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder if it would work.
Not that you'd ever do that.
You know, you can get those 3D tellies.
Like on a split screen?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, 3D tellies, I don't think all of them do. Some of them do.
So you need to use two controllers, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
You can watch two different things at the same time. Because you basically use the 3D technology to basically project two 2D signals to the telly. I wonder if somebody could play the Xbox and somebody could play the PlayStation at the same time on a 3D telly in that environment.
Oh.
That's possible. I've never seen anybody use it. I think my telly does it, but I've never tried it. Anyway, I digress, as I do. So Steam now. So Steam have announced family sharing. This sounded really interesting until I got to the end of the article and I was a little disappointed. But basically what this is it allows gamers to play each other's games. So it's getting trying to get around this whole thing whereby you can't loan games in a digital environment. You can't hand them the disc for Steam or something like that. So Steam have tried to get around this with family sharing. It allows you to share your games with up to 10 other devices. Libraries that are shared can only be played by one person at a time. So for example, if I had a shared library with Sam and he was playing Rome 2, I couldn't play it until he stopped playing it.
Is that the entirety of the library?
See, that's the key, yes.
Right.
The problem is you have to share your entire library with somebody. It's not a case of sharing on a game-by-game basis. And it waited till the end of the article before it actually mentioned that. I still don't think it's that big a deal, because to be honest, I only know like four other people that have Steam. So I only have four Steam friends. So it's not really a big deal for me. I would have no problem sharing them.
Or four people accepted your friend.
Three of them did. One person did it accidentally.
Who? Me, Jez,
you two,
and Bede.
Bede and Keith.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You've still had Lewis.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
I've only got one more past that.
apparently, this is quite an interesting one. So... using the Rome example with Sam, so if we've got a shared library, and Sam, I'm playing Rome, but Sam owns the game, Rome 2. I'm just using Rome 2 because Chiz is getting bugged by, he wanted this to be the Grand Theft Auto edition, and it's going to be the Rome 2 edition. So Sam has lended his library to me. I'm playing Rome 2. If Sam fires up the game Rome 2, because he owns it and I'm just lending it from him, it kicks me out the game.
Sweet!
Not instantly, interestingly. It gives you an alert in 5 minutes, and then it says... there's a big button that basically says quit or buy after 5 minutes. So I'm assuming it kind of comes up and says, Sam started playing this game. Please take a minute to save your game progress and quit or something like that.
That's actually quite nice. Mm. The fact that it gives you like that, it's almost like a UPS system, like a universal
priority system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you come in and it actually gives you time to save rather than just get off.
The problem is with some games, though, when you can't save when you're on a mission. And I think of the example of Grand Theft Auto 5. You can't save when you're on a mission. Some missions are quite long, and you may not complete it within the 5 minutes. You essentially, but I guess, give
actually,
and take
later on in Rome, when you're waiting for a turn sequence to go, yeah, it can take quite a while as well. So.
So that does sound quite interesting.
Although it sounds like it's been entirely pointless for Sam to share Rome Total War, because as soon as you start playing, Sam's playing it, Gelf.
Apparently it's on a limited beta in September, and it includes all games and all DLC as well. Now, the interesting thing about this is the details of Steam Family Sharing clearly use the word devices and not computers when it's making reference to the different devices. Now, that's quite interesting because at the moment we've got Linux, Mac OS, and Windows are the only machines that can use it, so they have to be computers. So there's some speculation that devices is implying this Steam Box.
Yeah.
News today, the other day, they're making
three announcements. Yeah.
Next week, and one will be the Steam Box.
Have they actually announced that one will be the Steam Box?
I think so.
The theory is that it's going to be. Because it's.
I'm sure Red basically said they would do, but unless I've read that wrong.
You're right.
What do we want the other ones to be?
I'm pretty sure what everyone wants one of them to be, but they'll be.
Like a Half Life.
We can see.
Half Life? Are we thinking Half Life? Cheers.
Somebody answer. Somebody!
Are we thinking Half-Life?
I hope it's Half-Life. However, just to kind of stomp on that a little bit.
Or Left 4 Dead?
There's the website that you go to see this. So there's three announcements happening. One of them's happening in, I think it's about, it's this time tomorrow night, actually, thinking about it.
It's Monday or Tuesday.
It's definitely Monday, because when I went on earlier on and I was looking at the show notes, it was like 26 hours to go or something like that. So it must be tomorrow night. The URL is store.steampowered.com/livingroom, and that's for all three announcements, which makes me think none of them are going to be games.
Hmm.
You know, because the URL doesn't really...
So they're all going to be about...
The Steam Box, I think.
Although usually in the past, when Valve have been going to be doing a show or say something that, there's been a lot of people go, oh, I wonder if they're into Half-Life 3, and Valve have usually been pretty quick coming around, we're not announcing Half-Life 3. This time, they've not said anything.
Yeah, that's true. It's possible.
How much hype has there been, though, with people saying, oh, Half-Life 3?
But the hype is all around the first one being the Steam Box. They haven't actually announced when the second or third announcement's happening, as far as I'm aware. Tomorrow night is only going to be the first announcement, which everybody thinks is going to be the Steam Box.
In the future, the entire Futures company will make two more announcements.
the Steam Box is going to have to be pretty swanky.
Yeah.
Because
it's going to be Linux-based or something.
Yeah, I have no particular interest in the Steam Box.
If you've already got a PC, then...
Well, you know, annoyingly, it probably would have been quite interesting to me about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, hey-ho.
But, I mean, what do we think? The Steam Box, is it going
to
be like...
Do you want to beep
just
that
keep
as well?
Going, Paul. Just keep going. Just ignore it. Just inhale deeply and accept it into your life. Cheers, just farted. How's it going to work? Is it going to be used? Is it going to be like streaming?
I'm assuming it'll have some kind of hard drive on it. I'm guessing it's just going to be a Linux box that just boots straight into, what is it, Big Video, the Steam full screen thing?
Yeah.
Big Video.
And what's it going to be able to play?
Your Steam library.
So my Steam library will just play from that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's trying to put PC games into a console market. I mean, that it's trying to be that kind of in-between thing.
If it can do it well, then cool.
Because there's no other consoles that are doing that whole kind of downloading 100% thing.
Like, what about it?
It depends what it's going to be priced at. If it's around the same price as the consoles or less, then fair enough. But if it's as expensive as building a fancy PC, then it's going to be a waste of time.
Yeah.
Do you know what, as well? You're probably only going to be able to buy from Steam. So you're going to be sitting all year not buying any games.
Well, no, because you can activate them.
Steam,
so you could, like Green Man and GOG and things like that. Can activate on Steam. Well, you can at the moment.
Will you be able to do... That's what I'm thinking. Like,
I can't see why not.
I got Rome from Amazon, mm-hmm. which arrived on time. But obviously I activated that through Steam on my PC. Are you going to be able to do something similar on this?
I would have assumed so.
I'm not sure.
I can't see the business benefit in not doing that.
To tie them 100% to yourself.
But Steam...
The Apple way.
Hmm. Steam have never kind of done that in the past. They've always
but they've never brought out their own kit have they? So
true. Time will tell on that one, I guess.
They have contributed. I'm going back to bed now.
Metal Gear Solid creator Hideo Kojima.
Hideo Kojima, some of that.
Close.
That was pretty good.
In the news this week, after revealing the design for the Metal Gear Solid 5, the Phantom Pain character Quiet's outfit. So this is a female character called Quiet, and her outfit is raunchy, to say the least. I think
she's not really wearing much.
Well,
it's not particularly new in games, but it's just a fact the way you advertise it. Like, he basically wanted his character to be more erotic, so you could see it's cosplayers dressing up in them, yeah, and to sell figurines of it. So it's like,
yeah.
So you just want to see cosplayers wear less outfits,
wow,
so you can be a pervy old
pervy
man.
Little well, Japanese weirdo.
Yeah,
she's wearing bra, knickers,
and tights. I get that. But just to kind of do the other side of the argument, Stephanie Justin, if I'm pronouncing that correct, so that's the model and voice actor that is playing Quiet. She thinks that it's fine because it fits in the Metal Gear universe. And she said, I don't think I'm allowed to say a lot about this, but well, Mr. Kojima has his reasons for deciding why Quiet is wearing what she's wearing. Players will just have to look forward to that. There is a chance.
She's getting paid by them.
Yeah. Well, of course she is. But
since his original tweet, he has come out and said that there's a reason why she is, but where she is, but says, yeah, okay, fair enough. We'll wait and see, but it has to be a damn good reason now. But
yeah,
it's just the fact your original tweet about it was about cosplay,
yeah,
just,
yeah.
And selling figurines just makes it smack of just,
yeah. Boom. Yes, indeed, indeed, they do. Indeed-ly.
Quiet the porn movie.
Yeah.
There's no music. It's all silent. It's art house porn.
And finally, our little region is in the news. Although I'm not actually sure it's made national news. It's definitely news around here.
It was on the BBC website, so yeah, it's therefore international.
So, Grand Theft Auto 5 came out this past week.
And did it?
Yes, indeed.
Tell me all about that.
Well, we are going to get to that.
After we've spoken about Rome.
You're getting 2 minutes.
So, as we know, Grand Theft Auto 5 is made by Rockstar North, which are based in Edinburgh. And we also know that there are at least a couple of folk there that live, that either grew up or live or have connections down in this area.
Yeah.
And all over the world, presumably, as well. So they've named...
It would be quite funny if it's a Scottish-based game, but there's not actually a single member of the development team that's actually Scottish apart from the janitor.
So they have named one street Hoyk Avenue. Now, Hoyk is a sort of a medium-sized town, I suppose, in the Scottish Borders, not far away from us, but what, 20 miles from where we live or something like that?
Yeah.
20 miles ish, something like that. Now, for the record, I have in my meandering about found Elgin as well, which is a little town up north Scotland.
Is there Elgin in there?
There's Elgin Avenue, so the strip club that you end up in as Franklin at one point is on Elgin Avenue. And I'm assuming that there's other references as well to that. Anyway, so local councillor David Parker has branded the fact that Hoyk is mentioned in Grand Theft Auto 5. So I'll just read this. This is an exact quote from, I think it was local press. But Hoyk councillor David Patterson, Patterson, not Parker. That is another local councillor. But
get
just
to the point.
Has said he was horrified, quote, that Rockstar North would put Hoyk in such a violent game. And he's also branded the fact that it's in the game as disgusting.
May I say, may I say, that man is a visionary and would get my vote every single time. He's obviously, you know, opened his eyes to the world, taken in, you know, the marketing potential that Hoyk has and decided, no, Rockstar, no. No, you're too small time for Hoyk. Just take a step back.
It reeks of the same, the usual sort of ramblings of Daily Mail readers who clearly have never even seen or played the game. And it's Grand Theft Auto gets a horrible rep of being some sort of, well, I've heard people claim it's a murder rape simulator, and it's like, yeah, you've clearly never played the game. It's,
yeah.
No, it's not.
It's just
the man is a...
It's a parody.
Sorry, Paul.
The whole thing's a parody.
Can I just get it over and done with just now? He is an absolute
He might need to bleep those ones.
Yeah, I might have to. Yeah. Anyway,
just a small-minded little with no idea of what he's talking about. There we go. Crack on.
And it was Steve I saw mentioned on your Facebook post when you put up Sam.
Steve, who was the show for the E3 special.
Which I kind of agree with. He kind of deduced that there's obviously in LA, which Los Angeles is a spoof of, there's obviously a street called, a famous street called, it's Melrose Avenue.
Yeah.
So they changed Melrose Avenue to Hoink Avenue for the game. Probably makes it.
And Melrose is another town that's maybe about 5 miles away from us.
And it's maybe a bit nicer than the crap over at Hoink.
No,
the
actually,
feelings
to be
of
fair,
Gratchism
to be
are
fair,
not the feelings
right,
of the British.
Everyone agrees with me, don't worry.
Hoink gets a bad rap in the borders, and Hoink itself is actually not a bad little town.
It is. I had
fairly
lunch there
pleasant
last
little
week.
Shops
yeah,
in there.
Anyway, I think we've
if you turned
this
it into
point
ghost town without the people, it's perfectly nice.
But it does have a reputation for being a so that's presumably someone who's come from the borders.
Well, not necessarily.
Taken away his or. Knows someone from the borders and has heard of Hoink referred to in a bad fashion.
But is it though? Just to be completely the other direction, what if you are a developer from Hoink who works for Rockstar and he just wanted to name it? I mean,
an homage.
He just wanted to put the name of his town in.
Yeah,
so it's totally different in the environment. I totally get that what I'm doing. But when I'm building things and putting in stuff that nobody's actually going to see, and I don't make video games, I make websites, I know, but whenever I'm doing like dummy text or anything like that, I put in references to me and myself and things I like and things like that.
It could be to be a totally harmless thing.
Yeah, and he's probably meant it as a nice thing, as a positive thing.
I think regardless it's a positive
to be,
thing.
Actually pronounced again, what's the real, how you're supposed to pronounce Hoik? Because it's not supposed to be pronounced Hoik.
But people in Hoik pronounce it Hoik.
I know, but it's not really supposed to be pronounced that way.
Really?
You know, it's a haik or some stupid reason.
Hawick.
Yeah, but what,
I think we've laboured this far too much.
No, but,
yeah.
It's in the game. It's one of the characters refers to street as Hawick Avenue.
All right, okay.
But
he's American, though.
Yeah, I know, but I know in the real Hoik they pronounce it. They don't. You're not supposed to pronounce it Hoik. It's called something.
Well, there you go. But just to add an extra bit to this,
Americans also say Edinburgh, though. So you know,
just to add an extra.
Yeah, but not everyone Hoik.
Right, cracker.
Anyway. So just add an extra bit to this. Another local village near us called Langley has a pub called the Woodcutter, and they put up quite a funny article that is basically they are claiming that they are disgusted at Grand Theft Auto V, but because they were not included in Grand Theft Auto V. Yeah. So put a link in the show notes to that. It's well worth the read. I actually tried to find it in Google, and I couldn't find it. The website is horrendously hard to find, but we'll put a link in the show notes so you can have a read of it. It's well worth the read. It's quite funny. They actually interview locals that they're disgusted that they were not included in Grand Theft Auto V. It's well worth the read. So that's basically all that is for the news, unless one of you would like to tell me something else that I've forgotten.
You had a baby.
I did have a bit. Well, I didn't. My wife did, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought you did it.
Well, I was present. Oh. Anyway,
you've taken all of the magic out of it now.
So
far less impressed.
We will move trundly on to the preview section. Sam, your preview for this week. Sir.
I can't remember what.
Mad Max.
Mad Max. Yeah, I just saw they're doing Mad Max. It's quite good. It looks a bit Fallout-y. I don't know how they're going to do it, but
that probably makes sense.
It has a lot of
Fallout with cars.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like what was it? Was it Rage?
Mm.
Yeah, but probably better than Rage was because I wasn't impressed with Rage.
Cool.
But yeah, it's Mad Max.
So
you can be a rogue warrior. Yeah, you're cracking around. You trying to get to. I can't remember from the film. The place that he's always trying to get to because it's all nicey-nicey.
Valhalla.
Yeah. It's not, but yeah, Valhalla will do. So he's driving around trying desperately to get to this Valhalla. Doesn't
just
appear to have a dog.
This car looks really good.
The kind of visually, it looks a bit like it's more kind of centered towards the first one.
Right. A kind of post-apocalyptic
thing.
Yeah,
he doesn't have his dog, which is a bit annoying.
But they're just leaving themselves open for a second.
Yeah.
A sequel.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The dog.
Could this be? Do you know this long-standing gripe that I have that movie video game tie-ins are really very good?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're the only person that has that gripe. No, sorry. It's one that I have vocalized on the show a few times. That's what I meant.
This one really could be.
So I might have to caveat it and say, unless there's a really long gap between the movie and the video game tie-in.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
What was the game of the Warriors, the film The Warriors, you know, The Warriors?
Is that that boxing film?
No,
no, that's Warriors.
The
isn't it?
Gang. There's like a gang called the Warriors, and I can't remember what city. I really should. But yeah, they were in this city, and all the gangs meet up,
it's
and
the
gangs are like,
the game was made.
Yeah,
Anchorman.
PS2.
What?
They had that big fight where all
it was just like
the gangs
Anchorman
came together.
Just like Anchorman. No. That's it. There you go.
Cool. Cheers.
You just explained it all.
Cheers.
Dead Rising 3, I said, was it not?
I don't think you did yet.
Krull. Cop Krull.
There's another Xbox One launch title I'm looking forward to hopefully playing if it gets good reviews. But it looks pretty good.
It does look very good.
They've announced a co-op feature, but it's not like the co-op. They've said the co-op doesn't need to be... You don't have to be actually working together, but you can be inhabiting the same world, but doing your own things, and then work together when you want. Because they've said one of the drawbacks of the current consoles that they weren't able to do is, say, if someone's on one side of the map doing stuff, another person's on the other side of the map doing stuff, the consoles weren't able to generate and maintain the damage you did without it respawning once you left there and came back. With the Xbox One, basically the map's that big, and the console can keep whatever damage you do and keep it there in real world effects and stuff. So
cool.
It would be kind of cool. Kind of say, if me and you are in the same world, we're communicating, but then I stumble across where you've been and you're just decimated by what you've done, or you've left like a nice message in blood on the wall for me or something.
or probably he's burnt down all the buildings. Yeah. You just get there.
Or probably more likely, there is just hundreds of corpses of me lying all over the joint for getting continuously killed, and then I've switched off my console, never come back to the game again.
Or I leave a building and I just see your corpse falling from the top of the building.
I saw Dead Rising. I think we talked about Dead Rising 3 a couple of shows ago.
Yeah, we did.
It really does look good. The whole kind of merging weapons together.
It does
look
pretty
really
cool.
Yeah. I am hopeful. I'm not going to go as far as looking forward to, but the Zelda, the new Zelda game for the Wii U.
The Wind Waker one.
Looks pretty.
Just a HD remake of Wii.
It was the GameCube, was it not? Windwalker.
Windwalker. I
never played that game, and I'm sort of quietly hopeful because I never had a GameCube. Well, I do now have a GameCube, but I never had a GameCube when GameCubes were the thing.
Like that week in September.
No, they were around for a while. That it was when the Grand.
They weren't the thing, though.
No, they were when the Metal Gear Solid. Was it Metal Gear Solid 3 got released just on the GameCube or something like that?
Twin Snakes.
So I never played it then. And I'm sort of hopeful that it is a good version of Zelda, because I've been a bit sort of hit or missy with the latest ones. I'm not going to remember any of the names. The latest one that was on the Wii.
Was it Something Sword?
Something like that. It was the one where you basically it was very cloud and very cutesy poo, and you flew these big bird things, and it was all right, but it wasn't great. The one previously to that where you became the wolf was really good.
Zelda Sunshine Rainbow.
The only one I can ever remember is the Ocarina of Time.
I like A Link to the Past. That was my favorite one in the series.
That's the only one I ever remember. I haven't played any of them.
Mm. Majora's Mask. I remember that one.
Mm. So I'm hopeful that this one is actually quite good.
It's an older one. Zelda's ever been.
Mm. Hopefully it is. So it comes out
what was that link that I put October the 4th? Next to Chizzes in the show note?
It's an IGN article.
Oh, I was just I remember you.
I think it was completely I seem to remember it was quite connected. Amusing. I think it's what Chizzes mainly been looking forward to.
What was it called again?
It's a game called Poof.
Yeah, that
Poof
was it.
Is a colourful game featuring a cute canine knight.
That's not the full title.
Oh, sorry. Poof versus the Cursed Kitty.
Yep.
So Poof is a colourful game featuring a cute canine knight protecting his beloved kitty from waves of sneaky monsters and using a lot of attack defence techniques to save the day. Very good.
Chase has been waiting for that for years.
That feels like a bargain basement game if ever I heard one there. So need I ask what the three of us have been playing this week? Sam, we've heard enough about yours. So yeah. Grand Theft Auto. No, Sam, okay. We'll give you first dibs.
No,
go for Rome.
No.
For it. Nope.
Go.
I'm not doing it now. it's getting a massive slating.
Really?
A lot of people really, really disliking
it. Yeah, it was a Metacritic. I've never seen a game. It's quite often you will get, even amazing games will get quite a few, it's negative reviews of people because some people are just idiots and moan about the stupidest things. But even then, they're still outweighed by the positive stuff, because there's enough sense with people going, yeah, it's great. But total rumor. I know it's on Metacritic. The amount of user negative views are totally outweighing the positive, which is I can't believe. It's just
everything's
not particularly got bad reviews.
No, everything's really different. The layout, the technology, the diplomacy screens, everything is very, very different from what we've seen before. And I mean, my excitement took me through, like, oh, what the hell does this? There's still things. I played through the prologue section, which I would recommend anyone picking it up to play through the prologue session.
You mean the tutorial?
It's called the prologue section. Yeah. But it is a tutorial section.
Yeah.
And it kind of teaches you the very, very, very basics.
So would you agree with the amount of people being negative, or do you feel they're just being a bit namby-pamby?
Well, I think they're being a bit namby-pamby, frankly.
Yeah. No surprise.
if there are sections that I still don't fully understand, like there's a thing called a faction screen where it shows you how many, in my case, I'm mainly playing between a German campaign and a Britannic campaign, because generally the barbarian groups are more simplistic, and I try to use some logic thinking, well, they would be easier to start up on and use them. So like it'll say something like 45% of the chiefs support you, and it's like 700 odd out of 1,200 or something, and you're like, there's no explanation as to what that means. And there's a few bits like that that just give you no real explanation as to what the hell it means and what effect it actually has on the game. However, I've just taken to ignoring that section. The technology, once I get my head, I got my head around the technology and exactly what it does, and you have to rely on the kind of inbuilt encyclopedia to explain it all for you. That once you click, that really starts to make sense. The one thing I really don't like, I don't like the unit cards. So in the original Rome and in Empire, everything up to Shogun, you had these kind of just an image of a troop type, whereas now you just have these stylized, almost kind of playing card looking things,
right?
Like pencil hand drawn looking chaps. So a spear guy is just a bloke with a spear.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with that is that, say, as the Germans, you've got a standard Germanic tribesman with a spear, and then a spear band, which is like a kind of better trained, more elite. Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
they play instruments.
There's not... looking at it quickly, there's bugger all difference. Once you get the hang of it, you realise that, oh, that chap's shield is slightly longer on the card. So I now know exactly what that... And that's a bit annoying. The other thing people have been moaning hugely about is the time it takes from going turn to turn.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, shut the hell up. Because it's always taken Total War games a lot of time to go from turn to turn. And you've got to take into account that...
Maybe they hoped that would be reduced.
It's got more so factions. Numbers.
No, I get that. But maybe they... And I have to admit, now... So
it's got 70 odd factions.
No, I get that, I understand that. I haven't been able to play yet, so I got it it was a couple of days after it got released, and I haven't been able to play yet, because even though my brand new machine, I put it in, and all it does is just hangs at the splash screen.
That was going to be my final bitch.
All right, well, sorry, so what... We'll come back to that, but what I was saying
hardware
was...
Hardware and driver issues are still rife. But these things are going to be sorted out, and I feel really sorry for anyone who's...
It's a PC gamer, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I know, but it sort of annoys me.
I feel sorry for people like Paul who've bought it, and it's not working at all. Mine still crashes every now and again, and my computer's all right. It's mediocre. I've just put a new graphics card in this week.
Because of Rome Total War?
Yeah, mainly.
Well, I have to admit, that was one of the... Rome Total War was one of the reasons that I bought a gaming PC. I was seriously thinking about it. When Rome was coming along, I thought, right, that's a reason to do it, because that's a game I want to play. I got it. Couldn't get it working. And I kind of faffed about with it a little bit. And then GTA 5 came out, and I've completely forgotten about it.
And he had a baby as well.
And I had a baby as well.
Did the game actually install? Yeah.
Installed, it should but be, it just if, hits the loading if, screen and then
you,
I get the...
If you get the game patched, there's been a few patches now which might have fixed your issue.
Well, that so my point was, though, that one of the big things that I was looking forward to was assuming that it was a new version, and I totally get that it still has to go around 70 factions, but the time it takes on each of the factions would be quicker. Is that not the case?
That is not the case.
Bit, I would be quite disappointed.
They're actually,
with that as well. I will be quite disappointed.
They're actually more complex now than they ever have been before.
It's crunching so many.
Yeah,
so
it
many
is.
Things. The same thing happens in Football Manager, like when you're, even though that has gotten faster and whatnot.
I don't have.
But Football Manager probably isn't crunching the same amount of stuff as what.
And it's not physically moving things out around a giant map that's in front of your screen as well.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Sorry, you carry on. I was just adding to your point.
You basically, kind of think of it as if you're playing a board game with real people, and you have to wait till their turn finishes, even though they're doing it really bloody
but
rapidly.
I've got the patience of a 3-year-old. I don't want to sit
with 70
and do that.
People. You're gonna have to.
Well, that's
or
maybe
you're not gonna.
You know what? Like, actually, you maybe just talked me into trying to fix it again because I could be playing Grand Theft Auto in the breaks while they're doing the turns.
You probably won't have. Quite enough time.
Well, no, I will have because I could play a mission in that and then come back to it and just work my way between them. You know, because I've got all this time in my hand now with a newborn.
One of the things that I read was a bloke who says he read a book in the first something like 12 hours of playing it because he was spending that much time. I'm sorry, mate, and I'm speaking specifically to you and people who have that problem. You're either speed reading and not really taking in your book. Your book's actually a comic, or your PC is a calculator. You
say what you feel, Sam. Say what you feel.
I will do. Yeah. People are winding up too much.
You get some. Oh, the game it doesn't work. Blah, 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 it's so slow. But then you realise that their PC. And you see in forums after people asking, "What specs your PC?" Yeah, it's an 486. That's why.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I think we've given Rome 2 too much airtime.
If you're sensible, it has its faults. It's a diamond, but it's a flawed diamond.
I think we're going to end up having to talk about it again in a couple of weeks because I'm going to eventually get working, and that will be the game I've been playing.
I'm going to keep playing it
in
as
a couple
well,
of
so.
Weeks.
This is going to be Sam's game.
He's I would.
He's talked about it for weeks. Like, weeks
of previews, and now he's going to talk about more because, well, basically, since this came out, Sam has been a mobile spunk trumpet.
I have. It's true.
An immobile spunk trumpet.
Yeah. I would highly recommend anyone to start their campaign as the Britons. It's very easy, they're quite basic, and it gives you a good grasp on the game to get into it.
I normally go the Britons anyway.
They're crap.
Yeah, I know, but I normally do. Right. The Britons or the Americans, I normally go.
GTA
obviously
5,
in
the
Napoleon.
Game I'm going to have to get in a few months because Amy wants to play it.
So...
Yeah. So GTA- oh no, Amy wants to watch me play it, which is more annoying. It's like backseat driving on a computer game.
The pedestrian.
I've seen so many people I've not seen on Xbox Live for years.
Oh,
not since Grand Theft 4, because the only game they've ever bought has been maybe the odd Call of Duty and Grand Theft 4, and it's the reason why they bought a console. And I've not seen them on since they finished playing Grand Theft 4 years ago. And then on the day the game came out, it's like, Christ, I've not seen him online in years. They just reappeared like dust in the crap off their Xbox.
It was what day did the game come out? Was it Tuesday?
Tuesday.
I switched on my Xbox on Tuesday, and I had more friends online than I've ever had, and every one of them was playing Grand Theft Auto 5. It's really impressive.
There was one person I saw.
I wish I'd gone on played something else. Shoddy and old.
Yeah, I had one friend who was playing Modern Warfare 3, so all rounded up and started bullying him.
So. It came out on Tuesday. It's got a few new... Well, it's obviously hugely polished than previous versions. It's got tons of new stuff. I mean, broadly, it's the same idea. You're a guy, you're walking about a city, you're doing crimes and stuff like that to ultimately get to the end of the story. Yeah. But that's seriously oversimplifying it. It is a huge move on from Grand Theft Auto 4.
Did I just say, it is basically a comedy. The storyline, it's as I say, it's a parody on modern life, the whole thing. It's... And even though it's got some, it does have some, it tackles some serious things in it, but the whole thing's tongue-in-cheek, not to be taken seriously. Yeah. And it's just like, I've never had a game series that's made me laugh so much. Mm. Like, the amount of times, like, especially Trevor, is going to go down one of the greatest game characters ever.
Yeah.
Because he's just that bloody funny. Mm. And off the, he's the sort of person that, is even though you play as him, but in cutscenes you actually don't know, and you're actually worried of what he's going to do next because he's that mental.
And well, it's
the sort of person you would not want to know in real life, but love watching him.
Yeah, and I probably have to go back and play like the older games, but I don't remember a version of Grand Theft Auto where you could go in with one character, Trevor, and take out an entire base of people. So, you know, like the O'Neills, I can't remember a scene like where Nico Bellic took out on his own. He would normally take two or three guys with him. Or it wouldn't be quite as open pan. He would be walking through room to room and taking them out.
I think that in essence, you've probably been able to do that in Parsifal Hills, but it's not been as polished as well as in Grand Theft Auto 5. I've noticed, like, even from starting straight away, the graphics are, well, for an Xbox game, it has its problems and a few glitches, but it's such a beautiful looking game. Well done.
That was a good catch. What are the problems and glitches?
At this point, it's limitations of the hardware. You'll see every now and then, there's quite a lot of popping, but it's nowhere near as bad as what Grand Theft Auto 4, but they've improved it since then. And I had a glitch. I was playing today at one point, and I've been playing it all bloody week, and I hadn't noticed it until today. It's the first time it happened, a car vanished from in front of me.
I've never seen anything like that.
And I say, I was the only time I've ever seen it, and I was just, and even the grand scheme of things, that's not a massive deal. Yeah. And like, there's no game breaking. As I say, it's just.
Have you been through a lightning storm yet?
Awesome.
They are really cool.
The lighting is absolutely fantastic. I've caught myself just looking out in the horizon, the sunset, the water. I have to say, it's probably the best water effects I've ever seen in a game.
If you invite Kimberly over to go for a drive in the sunset, just sit and hold hands, looking at the screen.
I'm going to.
cheapest date ever.
Well, it's as far as it's going to go in the next few weeks anyway. because I find myself just walking through the city. At one point, I was walking over a bridge, just taking a sec, like, just admiring the graphics and lighting, and there was a random, there was a police helicopter flying over, and just watching that fly over. Then I heard a weird sound, like, well, a new noise I hadn't heard before, and when I turned around, looked over the bridge, and you know the storm drains you get in LA. Yeah. There was a bit of water, and there's three guys on jet skis going along the storm drain. It's those random little things. The world's kind of moving and breathing as you're going. And I was just like, that's just fantastic. Even though it's just three folk in jet skis, but it's just the fact that it was there happening without me even doing anything.
Yeah, it wasn't part of the mission or anything like that.
In between missions, just wandering about, and I had the first time I watched, I walked Chop the Dog. There was a random crime going on where the cop cars crashed off a street gang.
Yeah.
They all piled out and started shooting each other in a comedy fashion, missing, trying to shoot while saying funny things at each other and whatnot. But then everyone else who's driving by is either panicking, swerving off, crashing, getting out of the car and running away because of all the commotion, or panicking, hitting their horn, hitting the gas, and running people over. This is all going in the background while I'm playing fetch with Chop. Just as if nothing's happening. It's just like, this is absolutely...
Even without
doing anything, just watching the world, things happen. It's fantastic.
I really like it, this one. There's no like kind of working up through decent cars. Straight away, you're getting all the best cars, if you can find them.
The whole world's open up straight away. There's no more, like, you can't go over this bridge because it's a terrorist attack. It's not open yet. Now, though, you can go... Once you're out in the bit, you can just ignore the missions and just cruise around.
Yeah.
Although you can't unlock certain things until you do the missions, but the world's there to just do what you want.
Yeah, yeah. I had a little bit of a problem with my airplane. I took three times to try and land the airplane, the mission that you first of all unlock airplanes. Mm-hmm. And... I don't know whether it was my sleep deprived state or what it is.
Your characters, or the
it was I was Trevor, but my problem was I was coming into land and I just couldn't work out how to reduce airspeed, and it just wasn't making any sense to me. I was dropping the wheels, then I was coming down,
buff,
and it was just hitting the ground, or then I was bouncing and then hitting into a tree, and I realised it was because of course I was holding on to the right trigger. And so I've got a foot to the floor accelerator, wondering why I'm not slowing down. So
it's like
you use brakes and accelerator like you do in
planes and helicopters.
Funny that
they take a bit getting used to it, but once you get high, fantastic. I absolutely love the flying; it's great now. But each of the characters, Michael, Franklin, and Trevor. And Trevor starts off as the best pilot. He's got the highest stats, but the more you do things, the higher the other characters' stats go up. For example, I won a triathlon with Franklin because he had the highest stamina. Even you think someone boring, just pressing the button to run, then swim, then getting a bike. But even that, I just found really quite fun. I don't know why, because there's that much actually banter happening in the background. I know things are actually quite amusing. And at any point, you can press B, which cuts to a TV camera from a helicopter, which is quite tricky still to play when you're running. Yeah. But you can hear someone talking over the top of it and just saying totally inappropriate things. Yeah. Well, in a Grand Theft Auto sort of fashion, the whole thing's just...
The radio stations are really good. Yeah. Like the comedy kind of news articles and things like
radio
that.
Radio stations have always been good in Grand Theft Auto.
What's been your favourite station?
I have landed on Rock. Yeah. The Rock station.
That
I quite enjoy
that. I would go for my music taste, but I've actually been going on the pop ones because it just makes everything else so much more dull, so much more stupid and funny. Like, it's just like causing mayhem while is it Britney Spears is bashing out or something. it just amuses me more. Yeah. And what's the other one? There's another one which does it's older songs, but whenever it comes, I think it was in the first time I was on a boat just currently, it was sunsetting and Radio Gaga was playing out, and just like,
that's the Rock station that Radio Gaga plays on. Yeah,
I was just like, that's great.
Yeah, no, absolutely superb game. You finished the story now, haven't you?
Finished the main story.
I don't know how far I am through.
My only criticism of it has been there's not enough. There's a good few heists, but it's only maybe 3-4 heists where you get a proper choice of what you want to do.
Right.
Like, as in choose how you want to go in and choose your crew. It's maybe only like 3 heists where you can choose more than one crew member and choose how you want to enter. All the rest of the heists are kind of like, you're doing it this way, off you go. Mm-hmm. And I would have liked a bit more heists in it. That's only my only issue, although I've still to replay those heists and do it in a different way.
Yeah.
Which, because it was Grand Theft Auto 4 got a lot of grief because they reckoned, a lot of folks said, it's not crazy enough, where's the fun went and things like that. And with the Ballad of Gay Tony, which was a DLC, they brought in all the madness from San Andreas back in and brought in a feature where you could replay the missions at any point from your menu rather than restarting the whole game again, which they've got in Grand Theft Auto 5, which would be quite handy.
Yeah.
And because obviously you can do bank heists over and over again and get more and more money.
Yeah, because they brought in this rating systems of like bronze, silver and gold.
Yeah. And if your random crew members survive the job, their stats go up, but their pay cut remains the same.
Yeah, yeah.
So at the start, you could choose a crew member who takes like a 5% cut, but his stats are crap, so he's going to do a crap job. He's going to, depending on what he's doing, he's going to do a crap job of it. If he survives even the job, he'll take 5%, but after he's completed that job, his stats will go up, he'll get better, but he still only takes a 5% cut.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you go for somebody who takes, say, a 14% cut, they're going to do a much better job. And their stats will go up as well, but
yeah, they're always still going to take 14%. The whole kind of bronze, silver, and gold of mission completion was quite interesting. It seems to vary mission to mission. So, like, I got going back to the O'Neill's farm, meth farm that they're that you take out. There's one that you actually, one of the scores is getting 2 birds with 1 stone, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And so it's basically, there's 2 opportunities when you've got the sniper rifle where you can take out 2 people with 1 bullet. So you obviously get points for that and things like that. There's all sorts of funny little things like that. But yes.
I think what else, but yeah, absolutely. I do also really like it how it doesn't throw cash at you straight away.
Yeah.
I've noticed when there's a lot of missions you do and you don't actually get any money for it, it's just to progress the story and unlock things, and you don't get cash. So at first you are trying to go, right, I want to buy this, and you go, oh, I can't, I need to save money. Yeah. Or it forces you to do other things to earn money, like petrol stations and things like that. I've found a lot of banks which you can go into, but there's no one ever in them, and they're not part of the main story, and there's a proper vault and everything inside them. So I'm assuming that's probably something to do with GTA Online when it comes out, that you'll be able to set up those banks to rob with your friends,
right?
Because they're not part of the main mission. It seems to be smaller banks in each of the little towns and whatnot,
right?
So that they look like they could be part, because I saw them and I thought, I wonder if they're part of side missions you can do yourself. There's never anyone in them, so you can't rob them, which is disappointing from the single player point of view. But for GTA Online, I assume you'll be able to do that yourself or with friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Okay. This podcast and all the others on the British Tech Network are brought to you by UK2. They're absolutely superb. They support all the shows on the network. They pick up all the bandwidth and they are great. We just wouldn't be on the air without them. So if you could head on over to thebritishtechnetwork.com and click on the sponsors link, in that page there, you'll see all the different voucher codes. It gives you money off VPS, VPN, domains, and all sorts of stuff like that. And then if you could just click on the UK2 link on that page, that'll take it up to UK2. And you can put in all those voucher codes and get all that awesome cash off. And also, once you become a customer, if you could use the British Tech Network site to use to go through to UK2, just so they know that we sent you and you didn't get your voucher codes off some kind of voucher code site or something like that. But that's UK2. They support British Tech and we want you to support them. So thank you very much. Finally, the Bargain Basement Challenge. Sam, what did you have?
Cruise cut here as we go home and play Grand Theft.
Brink.
What was Brink like?
I honestly only played about 20 minutes of it.
But still, what was it like?
It's 2 minutes longer than Paul.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's like a shooter. It's based on like this. I don't really understand the story. It's based on an island and...
It's got a multiplayer story. They're never hard to follow, really.
And this... I think it's in like a dystopian future type thing. And there's two factions. One who are the grungy, rough and ready rebels who are up for a scrap. And the other ones who are the hoo-ha!
Company, security things.
Yeah. Like paramilitary mercenaries.
What did you make of the art style?
Kind of, basically. It's quite pretty. I did like it. From what I only... I didn't even shoot that many guns, gun types. They didn't feel very meaty to me. I was a bit disappointed by that. I don't know if people are still playing it multiplayer. I might actually give that a shot once I have more of an idea what the hell to do.
So what I remember when I played the demo, I think it was a first-person shooter, but... It encouraged you to do a bit of parkour when you're running about. You can jump over something and climb up things and whatnot.
Yeah, it's all about getting into the right position, I think, and kind of the angle you come down it. So you've got a couple of lads coming down the middle drawing all the firing, and then I think you're supposed to like zip up onto stuff and come down in an angle that they don't expect and take them out that way.
Sort of game, isn't it?
Yeah, I was bad at it. it's funny that.
Chiz, what did you have?
I had Narnia, the Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. Mm-hmm.
Was that similar to taking a dentist drill to your testes?
I think I would have rathered that.
Can we put that to the test?
Have you got a dentist drill?
I have.
Have you got some testicles?
No. Both Chiz and I lack these testes.
We became eunuchs.
Of which you speak.
Yeah, it was... I think you could be able to play up to four players. It was kind of like a top-down hack-and-slasher game puzzle thing. As I was playing it, it reminded me of the Lego games-ish. Then I realised it was made by the same folks, so that's probably why.
But worse. Yes.
But without all the humour.
Yeah.
And it was just, yeah, it was, I wanted a lobotomy by the time I finished it.
I had X2 the Threat, and I was worried that the guys would think that I had made up the fact that I couldn't get it to work, so I had to actually demo the fact that I couldn't get the damn thing to work on my machine before the game started. Well, I didn't lie about this, though. So you can have it back. I couldn't get it to run on my machine. So, this week, the bag of glory. You can dip your hand into my sack.
It's velour this time. I've got Chrome Hounds, which is like a mech shooter, the thingy-majiggy.
Has anyone seen, like, there's a mech warrior game coming out? And
there's always a Mech Warrior game.
And a Mech Warrior Online coming out as well.
That's it.
Oh, God.
What have we got?
Condemned.
Oh, I got Condemned. You got. I think the first Condemned's better than Condemned. Did I not get that, or was it Condemned 2 you gave me?
Maybe I've accidentally bought it twice.
Quite possibly.
Wow. So there you go. What have I got?
You have. Rummage about in my Tesco bag of goodness. It's not bought from Tesco, it's actually mine.
Company of Heroes.
It's actually not a bad game. So you're
is that the one that came free with that?
It came free with something or other. I think it came free with my old motherboard.
It was... No!
Oh, I never got that.
What the hell was that?
I bought something from... It was,
not,
it
was we a, went...
Yeah, it was Dawn of War, and it was supposed to get Company of Heroes free from it through Play.com. And Dawn of War arrived, no Company of Heroes, so I got in touch and they said they had... Basically, they said they had no copies left. I was like, oh, thanks very much.
Yeah. That's why you've gone down the drain. Rakumalalokon.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's called now.
Have they changed their name now, have they?
Yeah, I just thought they'd gone because of the whole Jersey tax evasion thing
it's
they
like
were doing.
Rakumo.
Anyway, it's a bar.
Says I've got an email from them.
They used to be the cheapest site on the internet, but then because there was
there was some tax
loophole in Jersey. But
actually, just to be clear, it wasn't evasion; it was avoidion, which apparently there's quite a big difference. Oh, so right. If I was accusing them of evasion, it'd be legal. So that's basically us. Please head on over to the Facebook page and our Google Plus community to chat to us and just generally throw abuse at Sam. More so on the Facebook page and the Google Plus page, as I said before. If you want to email us, you can email us britishnetnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow the network on Twitter @BritishTech. You can follow me on Twitter @PaulWheatley. And you can follow Sam on Twitter @DrNastyFlaps.
Don't bother. I can't be bothered at all anymore. I'm not going to make a token effort. Do it if you want, but...
Nothing's happening there.
Nah.
Cool. Okay, well, that's basically us. So thank you very much for your time and your ears. And we will see you in 2 weeks. All going well?
Maybe. Honest, no one's been listening to us because they're playing Total War and Grand Theft Auto.
Very true. But they may listen to this. So in 2 weeks' time...
They might
time,
be listening to this while they wait their turn in Total War.
That's true.
You could probably get half an episode.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I know what you're doing, Stephen. See, that'd be really creepy if someone Stephen's doing that exam at the moment.
Good night.
Welcome to the Total War podcast. Today's guests are me.
It's a gamer show, Spunk Trumpet Edition.
And me.
Got the intro, continue.
I wasn't ready to go yet.
Said the priest to the choir boy.